Kate grabbed Bobby by his good arm and hauled him, by main force, over the threshold of the bunker. He cried out as his head rattled on the door's thick metal sill, but she ignored him. As soon as his dangling feet were clear, she slammed the door, masking the rising noise of the wormhole, and began to dog it shut. Hiram's security goons were approaching, bewildered. Kate, hauling on the wheel, screamed at them, "Help him up and get out of here!" But then the wall bulged out at her, and she glimpsed light as bright as the sun. Deafened, blinded, she seemed to be falling, falling into darkness. 28. The Ages of Sisyphus. As two Stapledons, disembodied Wormcam viewpoints, Bobby and David soared over southern Africa. It was the year 2082. 4 decades had elapsed since the death of Hiram Patterson, and Kate, Bobby's wife of 35 years, was dead. A year after he had accepted that brutal truth, it was never far from Bobby's thoughts, no matter what wonderful scenery the Wormcam brought him. But he was still alive, and he must live on. He forced himself to look outward, to study Africa. Today, the plains of this most ancient of continents were covered with a rectangular gridwork of fields. Here and there, buildings were clustered, neat plastic huts, and machines toiled, autonomous cultivators looking like overgrown beetles, their solar cell carapaces glinting. People moved slowly through the fields. They all wore loose, white clothes, broad-brimmed hats, and gaudy layers of sunblock. In one farmyard, neatly swept, a group of children played. They looked clean, well-dressed and well-fed, running noisily, bright pebbles on this immense tabletop landscape. But Bobby had seen few children today, and this rare handful seemed precious, cherished. And, as he watched more closely, he saw how their movements were complex and tightly coordinated, as if they could tell without delay or ambiguity what the others were thinking, as perhaps they could. For, he was told, there were children being born now with wormholes in their heads, linked into the spreading group minds of the joined even before they left the womb. It made Bobby shudder. He knew his body was responding to the eerie thought, abandoned in the facility that was still called the Wormworks, though 40 years after the death of Hiram, the facility was now owned by a trust representing a consortium of museums and universities. So much time had elapsed since that climactic day, the day of Hiram's death at the Wormworks, and yet it was all vivid in Bobby's mind, as if his memory were itself a Wormcam, his mind locked to the past. And it was now a past that contained all that was left of Kate, dead a year ago of cancer, her every action embedded in unchangeable history, like all the nameless billions who had preceded her to the grave. Poor Hiram, he thought. All he ever wanted to do was make money. Now, with Hiram long dead, his company was gone, his fortune impounded. And yet, by accident, he changed the world. David, an invisible presence here with him, had been silent for a long time. Bobby cut in empathy subroutines to glimpse David's viewpoint. The glowing fields evaporated, to be replaced by a desolate, arid landscape in which a few stunted trees struggled to survive. Under the flat, garish sunlight, a line of women worked their way slowly across the land. Each bore an immense plastic container on her head, containing a great weight of brackish water. They were stick-thin, dressed in rags, their backs rigid. One woman led a child by the hand. It seemed obvious that the wretched child, naked, a thing of bones and papery skin, was in the grip of advanced malnutrition, or perhaps even AIDS, what they used to call here, Bobby remembered with grim humor, the Slim's disease. He said gently, "Why look into the past, David? Things are better now."
"But this was the world we made," David said bitterly.
His voice sounded as if he were just a few meters away from Bobby in some warm, comfortable room, rather than floating in this disregarded emptiness.
"No wonder the kids think we old folk are a bunch of savages. It was an Africa of AIDS and malnutrition and drought and malaria and staph infections and dengue fever and endless futile wars. An Africa drenched in savagery."
"But," he said,
It was an Africa with elephants.